This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello. We're listening to Deborah Wolf. That's me, because this is Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And are you bringing a dog to the party? Are you bringing an elephant to the party? I heard this saying the other day, and now I've heard it a whole bunch of different ways, but the way I heard it was on a TV show, and the guest on the show said, "Don't make a dog into an elephant." And I thought, oh, that's a good one for my pet show. That's kind of like, don't make a mountain out of a molehill, right? That's how we say it in Canada. And I guess elephants in Africa makes sense. So I like to think about how words incorporate animals and how old-fashioned sayings sometimes seem like they're just colorful and fanciful. Something like, don't count your chickens before they hatch. Oh, it sounds sort of like fairy tale stuff, right? But actually, if you're a farmer raising chickens, especially now when eggs are so expensive and avian flu is all around you, you can't count your chickens before they hatch, because you don't know if all those eggs in the incubator or under the hen are going to hatch and how many will actually survive. And you certainly can't count on that egg money of the future generations when they grow up at 9 months to give you the rent. So it's a really wise statement. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Don't count your puppies before they hatch. Speaking of that, there was a robbery, a really brazen one. Just going to look at my research here. It was just south of Denver. And what the thieves did was they went into a pet store and they pretended to have a seizure. The humans pretended to have a seizure. And so while the good-natured staff was all distracted tending to the human that seemed like that person was in trouble, while that was going on, they stole two bulldog puppies. Two puppies worth $8,000. You might say, why is a bulldog puppy worth $4,000? Well, bulldogs, I didn't want to get into this today, but I'm going to. I like bulldogs, okay? They're like little anvils. They hung onto your leg. They're like a big dog in a short package, and they're full of personality. But they do have health problems. And people liked having their heads so big and their bodies so small that they bred them to the point where almost all the females cannot give birth naturally. So now you see why they cost $8,000, why $4,000 a puppy. That's not even outrageous. They used to be 10 and 12 if they're from really good lines and not in a pet store. But it's because you got to factor in the cost of the C-section and the difficulty on the mother. And it's just a whole different can of worms. I did a show on this once talking about how the UK had come down against the breed world and started to police the breeding world to make sure that they weren't giving awards and prizes and encouraging traits that made that particular dog less functional, like this particular idea that you would have such a big head and such a small body that you can't give birth naturally. Okay, that shouldn't win a prize. We don't want to encourage that. We want to encourage something that can walk and run and play and eat and give birth and do all of the things a natural dog should do without surgery, right? So they cracked down on it. I'd like to see the rest of the world do the same. And a giant schnauzer won Westminster Best in Show. A giant schnauzer. When I first started Camp Good Dog, a couple years into it, I met this giant schnauzer called Max. And he lived in a house with a whole bunch of little wee schnauzers, the teeny tiny ones. And one of them, Licorice, who was older than Max, had so much attitude. Good Lord. Well, maybe Max was older than Licorice. I don't know. But this Licorice, he was a miserable little guy. And his owner actually had a nickname for him that was a profanity. And it rhymed with truck trucker. And he called him Little Trucker. And I found that out the hard way, because I was working with Licorice and I could not get him to listen. And my kid used to call everything trucker. He was a little boy who loved trucks. And he said it to Licorice, and Licorice listened, and that's when the light went off. Oh my goodness, this dog is as poorly behaved for you as it is for me. I actually made videos of Licorice trying to learn to sit. I used him to demonstrate how to teach a very, very, very stubborn little dog anything. And it's on Sit on my Dub Wolf Pet Expert YouTube videos if you want to look it up. Also, I did a whole bunch of videos lately because we had puppies born and they're 2 weeks old. So I did 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, every day. I'm going to go out there later today and do day 15. So you'll be able to see Golden Doodles developing. And there's an extra special one I'm probably going to attach to this show, which is how to tell a boy puppy from a girl puppy when they're really little. And no, that's not a joke. It can be very difficult. Okay, their parts are really small and they're wriggly and they sometimes have a long umbilical cord if you're looking the first day or two. So, yeah, I did a child-friendly version of how to tell the difference. So please check that out. And I also did a whole bunch of adorable videos, so you can see them on Dub Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube. And when we get back, I'm going to tell you about that giant schnauzer and why the giant schnauzer and, if you will, the giant or standard poodle are not the same as the little guys. Not at all. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. So, why is a giant schnauzer not really like any other schnauzer? Well, they had the schnauzer to begin with, and I'm going to look at my trusty breed book here, so I get everything right. I looked it up ahead of time. Of course, I got distracted looking at other breeds and lost the page, so I've got to find it again. There we go. All right, so originally there was a schnauzer that you probably would recognize. It's like a medium-sized dog, not too tiny, not too big, gray, silvery gray with white kind of trim around its beard and cheeks. And sometimes the feet, sometimes around the rump, but mostly it's like a silvery gray, beautiful. Okay, well, that's a vigilant guard and the original breed from which the miniature and the giant ones were then later evolving. So they can come in the red color as well. They're not always this black and silver. They can come black, red, silver. They have three colors, but you're almost always going to see them in the silver. Not sure why. Don't know why. But that's the way it is. That's what you see. So the giant schnauzer is black and he is beautiful. He looks like he should herd livestock. He does not look like he should run along a fence barking at the neighbor, which is what you might think of the other kind of schnauzer. No, he does not look like that. And he does not look like he belongs in your lap at all times. He looks like your little girl could go to the park and come back safely with this guy. That's what he looks like. So was used originally in the last century as a butcher's drover and guard. So that means he would move around the livestock. And that's why he looks so sturdy and like a herding dog. They do have some problems. They do have some arthritis in the shoulders and some issues with health that you would have to pay attention to. They don't need a ton of exercise, and they're super smart and easy to train. But I would say with all the schnauzers, they're not really super social with strangers. So they're not going to act like a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel at the store and be nice to everybody, or a Golden Retriever on a walk who has to say hello to every person you pass. That's not going to happen. So if you have a daycare out of your house or an office where people are coming and going, this dog probably isn't the one for you. But on the other hand, if you do have a security issue, but you want a pet, well, this giant schnauzer would be fantastic. So As I said, I was looking at the breed book, and of course I go wandering because I love all the pictures of the beautiful dogs. And so what did I land on? I landed on the Pointer. And, you know, they were bred in Germany, also in England. But then they took the Pointer they had in Germany and they mixed it with the one they had in England to create, well, there's one in Denmark too. But people were really into Pointers. They're all over the world, actually. There's a Pyrenean Pointer. There's a French Pointer. Why were they so into them? Because they're fantastic hunting dogs. Yep. That's why there's a Portuguese Pointer and a Spanish Pointer and an Italian one. Okay. You're getting the idea. But Germany, that's where most of the dog breeds you know today started. Most, not all, but most. And they were really into dog breeding and quite good at it. And so the Pointer, the German short-haired Pointer, is their ultimate creation for a bird dog hunting dog. That's what it is. And when you know that, kind of gives you a little perspective on the politics of the day. I know I was talking about this when the election was happening, and I was just going through all the animal news that occurred with the American election. And as a Canadian watching it from too close but far, I could not get over how many incidents there were during the campaign which involved animals. And it was the whale on the roof and the dead bear, that was Kennedy, and there was the eating the cats and dogs. But the Christy Nome thing was the most disturbing of all, I thought, as a pet owner, imagining that they buy a hunting dog and the hunting dog is not trained properly and does what it's supposed to do, but too much, and then pays with its life when it's a puppy. So to me, that really goes to character. But that's just me. Over the years, I've tended to notice the politics of the day and the politics of the past and the historical political figures and who had what dogs and what cats and how they treated them and whether or not they received gifts of animals from foreign leaders and treated them well or not, and just legislation that came from different politicians and giving praise where praise is due. But sometimes you just can't praise that kind of thing. Killing a dog in a gravel pit, and puppy, and then killing a goat. It's just not something to brag about. Not for me anyway. All right, so giving praise where praise is due. How about the Colbert Show, where he takes the time with his audience to rescue dogs? And he's done so many of these shows where he profiles dogs, and they have a celebrity, and they pick up the little puppies, and they talk about them, and they make up stuff about the dog. So there's this one dog that never got adopted. It's been on the show 3 times. Every other dog that's ever been on the show got adopted. So this poor guy, Norbert, who seems like a really easygoing guy, because they put him through a whole bunch of skits last night, and he was really super cool. But anyway, they say that he knows how to string Christmas lights. That was the falsehood told about him. And Norbert is probably going to find a home because he got an awful lot of coverage. But I just wanted to say, I wanted to give credit where the credit's due. And way to go, Stephen Colbert. You're responsible for a lot of dogs finding their forever home. And just pointing attention on dog rescue. It's a great thing. All right, everybody, we're going to go to break too and come back. And let's see. I've got so much to talk about. I'm going to talk about a heroic dog. A rescue dog, actually. And I don't know, would you describe this as OCD? I'll tell you, I bet a pet who may or may not have OCD. When we come back on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, and the heroic dog is Zeus, appropriately named. Way to go, Zeus. And I got to look at Zeus in the footage, the news footage, and Zeus, I would say, is a, well, he's a Heinz 57 for sure. But he looks to me a lot like a Lab Shepherd Mastiff cross. That would be my best guess. I'd love it if these people did the spit test, sent it away, and found out what he truly is. But I had a dog similar to him in my customer base called Lenny, who was also a rescue. Back in the day, they used to do blood donors. Instead of making you pay like $900 to have your blood type tested and then get artificial products sent and then pay another grand for that, they used to charge you a fraction of that, and they would keep these dogs at the clinic a couple at a time. If it was a big clinic, maybe four. And they were always big dogs with great personalities. And they would use them as donor dogs, because the first time a dog gets a blood transfusion, it doesn't have to match. So we'd use them as donor dogs for a week or two, and then find them an amazing home. Win-win. They'd find these dogs at shelters. So the whole thing was great. So Lenny was one of these dogs. Dumb, you know, docile, let you draw blood all day long, loves everybody. Perfect. Goes to the people, and I meet Lenny, and they tell me, well, this dog won't bark. Why won't he bark? We're afraid he's not taking care of the house. So I go visit, and next door is this barkaholic dog, a lab, big fat lab that almost never gets walked, called Bo, and Bo won't shut up. He's barking, and he's barking, and he's barking, and I'm like, well, I know why Lenny doesn't bark. It's more than covered, right? It's like living next to a siren, an alarm. He doesn't need to bark. Guy kept saying, well, what if somebody attacks me? What if something goes wrong? How do I know he'll really stand by me? I said, I know that dog. He will stand by you. I'd given them a bunch of basic training, taking the dog out in the forest. Anyway, months and months later, they called me to say, you know what? The man who was a dentist was riding his trail bike, like mountain bike, bicycle, in the trails, north side of Vancouver. So in the city trails, but most of you wouldn't consider it city. Very deep forest. He's riding. And all of a sudden, he felt a thump on the back. He went flying over the front of his bike, hit the ground hard, hit the bike hard, broke his wrist, broke this, that, the other. Really serious for a dentist. Took him a long time to get rehabilitated. But anyway, he's lying on the ground. He looks up. And what does he see? He sees his dog, Lenny, running away, is what he thought. But what did Lenny do? Lenny got a high point. Lenny ran up, so he had a high point. And then Lenny landed hard on the thing that had attacked the man. The thing that had attacked the man was a mountain lion. And then he took that lion down. And he scared that lion off. And about a half an hour later, a bunch of cyclists and trail people came along. And, oh, can we help you? We'll take the dog and we'll call for help. And the guy's like, you're not taking that dog. You leave that dog right where it is until help comes. And I don't blame him. So here we have a similar situation. I saw it in the news. This woman, her name is Patricia Rosenberg, and she decides to let, you know, her daughter do what they always do. And they had rescued a dog a little while back, maybe 5 years earlier. And he's a big old dog. He's pretty goofy, lab, shepherd, maybe mastiff, because he's kind of big. Okay, looks, you know, the dew claws on a dog like that look like thumbs. Big, big dog, big feet, big legs, long legs, big head. Okay, so the 18-year-old daughter, who is not big, she's sort of small for her age, looks like in the footage. So young girl goes out with this big dog, is walking on the front yard, and there's a bear 3 feet away. The woman sees it. The girl screams. The woman comes racing out of the house. She has to make a decision. She doesn't think she could save the bear and the girl. She grabs her daughter. She runs back in the house, but the dog attacks the bear and keeps it at bay. So there's nothing like a good dog, people. And if you treat them right and you take care of them, you're their family. They will protect you. It's just in their DNA. If you treat them right, they will treat you right. They just will. Okay. So I want to cover a few more things today. Does this dog have OCD? I love this dog. Met this dog a long time ago. His picture's on the back of my book. And he's in my book quite a few times, in the black and white photos of the chapter headings, because I found him a dream to work with. But the people who owned him did not find this dog a dream. In fact, they were at their wit's end, as I used to find with many of my Border Collie customers. You know, that book came out saying they were the smartest dog in the universe, and everybody wanted one, whether they were willing to put in the time, and more importantly, the exercise, or not. And then he had these dogs that were just bananas. So in this case, the guy worked all the time, on call, veterinarian, busy, dog left alone to just sit there. And the guy was very athletic, but his sports were things like skiing downhill. Like, you can't take a dog, you know, and what else did he do? Windsurfing. Like, he just, none of the sports that worked to get this dog out and running. He wasn't a dog park guy, but the dog was a dog park dog. So he started to go a little batty. So the guy would come home and all the shoes in the house, and he had a tenant who had kids. So all the shoes in the house would be found, and, you know, like, they weren't lost, but they would be found, and then they would be displayed, I guess you would say, at the front door. And, you know, the first go of the day might be all shoes. And then a half an hour later, if you looked again, it might be separated into two piles, dark shoes, light shoes. And then if you looked a half an hour later, it might be separated into the tenant's shoes, the owner's shoes. And then if you looked a little later, it might be separated into walk the dog type shoes. That was a popular one for this dog. And all the other shoes somewhere else. And sometimes he would take his favorite shoes to his dog bed. And those were always his owner's walk the dog shoes. So I went in there and I got this dog. Instead of doing this, I kind of harnessed this attitude and this inclination and got him to put away shoes. So when the kids who lived in the basement suite forgot their shoes, the dog would go dutifully put them everywhere they were supposed to be. And the funny thing about this was, you could stand at the door and say, "Where's my shoes?" And this dog would run off and get you a shoe. And he may get you the wrong shoe. It was usually the walk the dog shoe that you would get first. But then when you said, "Where's the other shoe?" it would always bring you the pair, even if it was the wrong shoe. And so you might get somebody else's shoe, and then you were going to get the match to that shoe. So does that dog have OCD? Well, I don't know. I think OCD in a herding dog is probably an asset, because they've got to keep track of all those sheep. They got to count them. And with my blue heeler, who's probably on his last legs now, hate to say it, but he's really having a lot of trouble walking. Might have had a mini stroke in the last couple days. But the first 2 weeks of this litter, the litter was in the living room, and he was the only dog in with them, along with the mama. And he does count them. He hobbles over, he counts them every day, and he makes sure all nine are in that pen, and nobody's missing, and it's just, he can't help it. And, you know, yesterday when they were moved, he was quite distraught over it. Did a lot of walking back and forth, and I think that's why he's sore today. But what a good-natured boy. At any rate, all the dogs I've ever had have always trusted him with their little newborn puppies. They seem to know. You know, normally you don't let other dogs around, not even the papa dog, not even the mama of the mama. I've had many situations where the mother dogs and ex-mother dogs and dogs who want to be mothers try to steal puppies. And they may not have the milk, and they may not do it as gently as they ought to, and they may not put them in the warm place, or they may leave them. So you really can't let the mama dog get in that situation. You have to protect her and her puppies and have no conflict. But this doddery old dog that I have that limps along and is a little bit deaf and a little bit blind was not a threat to her. And I could tell from the get-go, she didn't mind him there at all. But I saw him trying to count them. Bless his soul. Anyway, he's been getting laser treatments, and it's been helping a lot. And I'm hoping this is just a mini stroke that he gets over. I really am. I'm hoping he rallies again like he has many times. But I'm not counting on it, because we only get so much time with our dogs and so much time with our cats. So really think about that. How many Christmases? How many summers? How many beach trips? How many dog park trips? If you think you're going to be unavailable to walk your dog or take him anywhere fun for a couple of weeks, times that by 8 in terms of how long he lives, right? If you're giving him a month of no fun, he doesn't live that long. That's a lot of time. Get your dog out every day. Play with your cat every day, because they're not here forever, right? Do that thing you wanted to do with them, whatever it was. Dress them up, take the pictures, whatever it is, because they're really not here that long. I mean, most of us are going to live till 80, let's hope. And most of them live till 12, 10. You might get 10 good years. 10 good years. So times that month by 8. You got 8 months of no good dog walks. That's not right. Get your dog out. Get and play with that cat. Make the most of it, because before you know it, they'll be really old. And, you know, there used to be this comedic routine about how when your dog's little, you throw the ball and you have to throw it really easy when he's a puppy. And then he gets older and you throw it harder and you throw it harder. And then you're hucking that thing with a tennis racket or a chuck it toy. And you're whipping it. And then it starts to go the other way again. And then you're just throwing it lightly. And then you're kicking it with your foot. And eventually you're actually aiming at your dog like ring toss. Because you know he wants to play, but he can't run anymore. That's where Blue's at now. You kind of roll the thing over to him. And mostly he only likes bones and food and treats and being with me. So when they get old, being with you is the big thing for all of them. Being groomed, being pet, being cuddled, being with you. If you're a runner and your dog can't run anymore, take him for the warm-up walk and the warm-down walk. Take him for the stretching. Hang out with him in the backyard when you do your stretching. There's always a way to incorporate them into your life and have a good time with them. All right, everybody, if you want to see those beautiful puppies, hit the link we're going to post with this show. And there's way more on the channel, so subscribe and go through it. You can see 1-day-old, 2-day-old, 3-day-old, 4-day-old, just like that. Like those old-fashioned books we used to flip the corners on and see the cartoon character move. You can see these puppies develop right before your eyes. And yesterday was the day that they truly started seeing things. The day before, they just barely opened their eyes. And yesterday, they saw their mom, they saw me, they saw each other. They got moved because mom was very restless and wanted to move them once they started looking around. And they started to walk just a little bit. Instead of crawling or swimming or scrambling, one or two of them are starting to walk. So look that up, Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube, and you can watch those puppies develop before your eyes. All right, everybody, thanks for listening today. From me, Deb Wolf, and Animal Party and Pet Life Radio, ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.